Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it! New thing! This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. No ads to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't.
Sound of Forums. Welcome. I hope y'all had a good day today. Things working out to be your best that you can be. And I hope you checked out my archive. A lot of running around going on. A lot of things that need to be spoken about. Get off people's chest. And this is the place for it. You know how we do it. We don't like to hide. We don't like to run. We like to just come in, say what we got to say, and do our thing. So, let me play one more song for y'all, because I'm just in that kind of mood right now. I got to give a shout-out to my homie, Ty Fly himself, Mr. Fly himself. So, we're going to hit this up one time.
This goes out to my little homie, Brandon. Told you, I got you. My man.
A lot of pressure, man. Let's go, baby. It's sophisticated gorillas is on the move tonight. VA, stand up. Come on. Come on. My man. 100 miles of running. With guns in our hand. Barbarian, heavy metal carrying rock band. Investing in stock, man. Testing the clock, grand. My peeps got a spot on the block of my block, fam. A jar in the pot, man. Gets you a knot, man. Like ching ching. Hot damn. Cooked it like hot ham. Gotta be smart, man. Playing your part, man. Keep your feelings apart. With ice over your heart, man. Hustling ain't a game. Hustling the art, man. 50% sour, 50% smart, man. And lame as turns ain't shit sweet. Life gets cheap once plans gets brief. Be your own piece, trying to treat. Acting like they get their chance to eat. The politicians, they say we valid in the streets. But they the ones who put their face behind the white sheet. With holes in it. Life is a picture, baby, I posed in it. So my attitude is go get it. Cause I come from a place that's colder than a jail cell with snow in it. So I don't need your e-pill. I'm already rolling. I don't need your weed. I'm already flowing. I don't blow the white girl. I got the white girl blowing. Who needs to get used up? I'm lyrically flowing. I don't need your shine. I'm already glowing. I don't need your nine. Boy, I'm already toting. It's one last thing that you rappers should be knowing. I impregnated the game, man. She just ain't showing. My man. I'ma back off it up. Get that thing some air, yeah. Know why? Cause I swam with the sharks, ran with the bulls, swam with the frogs, just a hundred with the wolves. Swam with the sharks, ran with the bulls, swam with the frogs, just a hundred with the wolves. I done swam with the sharks, I done ran with the bulls, I done flown with the frogs, just a hundred with the wolves. I swam with the sharks, I ran with the bulls, I flown with the frogs, just a hundred with the wolves. My man, I'ma back off it up. Get that thing some air. Yeah. Get that thing some air. Yeah. Hey yo, rappers try to battle me. Snitches trying to rattle me. Snakes trying to rattle me. Pretty bitches, they tackle me. It's crazy how my faculty rap for the cause. I got the realest and illest killers in back of me, y'all. And they down for whatever, no matter the weather. Nah, this ain't run house, but we tougher than leather. Our brother walked this way, lead you straight to the treasure. A pot of gold, but my road to the riches was cold. The devil had my dick in the dirt, soul in a hole. I had no pussy to hurt, no money to fold. This little bit of fame that I claimed quickly got old. These units wasn't moving, plus no hoes in my shows. But I couldn't stop rhyming, I couldn't stop grinding. Like Jack on that beanstalk, I couldn't stop climbing. Now look at the beast, boy, he can't stop shining. Now look at the beast, boy, he can't stop shining. My man, I'ma back off it, though. Get that thing some air. Come on, back off it, duh. Get that thing some air. Know why? Cause I swam with the sharks, ran with the bulls, flown with the vultures and hunted with the wolves. Swam with the sharks, ran with the bulls, flown with the vultures and hunted with the wolves. My man, I'm gonna back off it, duh. Get that thing some air. This ain't a $1 million image, a bullshit gimmick. This real nigga lyrics for real niggas to mimic. For the love of money, my niggas is never timid. Pitching so hard, them boys should win a pennant. Oh, fake ass rapper, your whole style is rented. I'm the super of this hip hop thing, thing, you tenant. Political MC, I represent it. Here's every car I drive, yo, it's presidential tenant. Slightly weed scented with some pretty women in it. That'll be down for whatever in a few 8 minutes. Come on, let's calm down the curses.
Yeah, I just need a little extra little oomph, you know, for the day, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it. Well, let me go ahead and get this stuff started, y'all. You can find me on Facebook at george.mango904. You can also find me on Sando Forums, 97413. You can also find me on Twitter at hashtag soundoff97413. You can also find me at my website, Sound Off Forums. That's all, that's four excuse me, there's three F's in that, Sound Off Forums, okay, .com, and you can find look at my website, tell me what you think. You can also email me if you want to talk about something specific, or if you got any questions about anything I talk about. Always open to dialogue. Hey, help me out. You can email me at soundoff97413@gmail.com. And as we always do, we kick it with King James version. But before we do that, if you like to call in tonight you can call in at 347-989-1014. That is area code 347-989-1014. Ephesians 6:6-13, as we always do. Not with eye service and in man's pleasures, but with the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master is also in heaven, neither is the respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and put on the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle against flesh and blood, but not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of the world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having all to done to stand, and let the church say, Amen. That's how we kick it, y'all. That's how we kick it. So tonight's topic is, what is your favorite moment of your life? We know that, you know, life is short. And for some people, it's shorter, depending on if you have disease or you have, some type of illness, you know. So we must treasure every moment of our lives, whether they're good or bad. And that's how I take it. I think that we should give honor to ourselves. Not necessarily boasting, but just the things that we can remember that keeps us like, oh man, this keeps me going. I think that sometimes they say memory fades, but it depends on the memory and how we treat that memory. There are moments in time in our lives that we look at things and say, well, this how it should have been, but boom, that's how it is. I think I'm going to start from the beginning. And when I say I start from the beginning, I'm going to start to memories. I'm going to do memories. You can do moments if you want. But I want to do a memory. And it had to be around three or four. I had to be around three or four, because at five, my mom and dad got a divorce, a separation and divorce when I was five. And I remember that. So, I think that I share this one with everybody. When I was little, when I was really, really little, so like I said, it's between three and four, I think that's the time, between three and five, is where this memory comes from. And I remember going to a carnival, and the carnival, they had a monkey, they had a gorilla there, And I remember the Ferris wheel and the and mini lights. And I remember being put in the car and us driving away. I mean, that's a memory that, I mean, from my childhood that I remember, and I don't understand why I remember that, but that was a memory that that I like to share. Another memory I remember around that age would be, I don't know, something was going on, and my mother told my brother Billy to peel some potatoes, and apparently I wanted to help peel potatoes, apparently. So he's peeling potatoes with a knife. I grab the knife. He pulls the knife from me and cuts my hand, and I still see the stitches in my hand now, which is, you know, really odd. But and also kind of funny. And I also have a messed up, I'm not going to tell you that because some people might use that. Not giving all my secrets away. And then this is a memorable moment. I remember when I was in preschool, apparently I fell asleep on the bus, and nobody woke me up from the bus. So apparently I slept a long time and everything, and I woke up, opened the door, walked across the street, and walked into the daycare, and, you know, nobody asked me what happened or nothing like that, and then eventually they found out I was there, and they're like, "Where you come from?" I said, "Oh, I came from the bus," and they were horrified. But all I can remember, I don't know if you guys remember this, but it looks like one of those, you ever played the game Sorry, and they got that little, you know, the little mover thing, or whatever they're called, but it was like one of those things like that, and you turn it like that, and you sit on it, and it goes round and round and round in a circle. I was just playing on that the whole time. And it was just really, I mean, that memory plays in my memory for so much, and it's just so crazy. Yeah. So those are my memories from that era. So if you like to call in and give a memory or give something that a moment in your lifetime that you'll never forget, area code 347-989-1014. So, as I'm waiting for the calls to call in, I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out to Joshua Seiler down and back in Oregon, my son, and my homie Kendall, Jesse, Kobe, Cheto out there. I'll be coming to Oregon pretty soon. We're gonna get it on, okay? I'd like to give another shout out to another area. I want to give a shout out. People don't know who this is, and you probably don't know the people I talk about anyway. But I'd like to give out a shout out to Max and Amy Maxwell for a great party they put on. It was awesome. It was relaxing. It was uplifting. I had so much fun. Hope to see y'all next year, God willing, and we continue to have fun. Leia, Carla, and the rest of the Atlantic Stars, listen, you girls are so cute and funny. Hopefully we can see you guys this summer. But that's not here nor there. I'm gonna go ahead and tell one of my another story, a memory. That that's, you know, it's really, I don't know, it's this memory's kind of touchy feely for me, I guess, I don't know. And that's only because I was, I don't know, it was raining hard that day, and not only was it raining hard that day, but the little gutters were filled, and of course we didn't have swimming pools where we lived, so we made our own swimming pools. And the way we made our own swimming pools was, when it rained really hard, we'd go jump in those little ditches. And, well, somebody jumped in the ditches and the ditch. And it so happened that the current was pulling him into the drain. And one of the older kids stopped him and was holding him. And he was so happy to grab him and pull him out. I mean, he could have drowned. That was like a defining moment where I really hated water for me. I'm like, man, this is crazy, you know? And it's one of those scary moments in my life, I guess. That was kind of crazy. So that's it. Let's see. I think I want to turn it up a little bit, because I'm sitting here waiting for people to call in, and I don't want to sit here and not be productive with my time. Y'all know how I get. I get really antsy. So, what I need to do is shift the paradigm. And what I mean by shift the paradigm, I am going to shift the paradigm. I'm going to turn, and listen, I know what the subject says on the thing, but, you know, and listen, it gets too little true drive from me, and so then I have to turn it up a couple notches, and so, well, hell, that's what I'll do. I'm going to fall back onto myself, my safety fall back on, and we are going to talk about something that, people find to be probably, you know, crazy or whatever. I'm trying to find it. This is Wednesday, so you know it's education night, so I gotta educate you. See here. Oh, don't do this to me. I'm trying to look up, that is definitely not it. Okay. I apologize. I'm trying to find this stupid thing. Okay. So now that I'm gonna get my mind clear and get my mind right, we're gonna we're gonna look at it like this, okay? We're gonna say to ourselves, what do we need in order to be a better society? What is a person's natural function in a society? I mean, because you gotta think, y'all, look, in a functional society, people work, they're productive. And when they're productive, they contribute to the society. Okay? Now, I'm not gonna go and jump on all these different types of societies, okay, and I'm just gonna talk from the head, okay? So when we're born into the society in America with rights that are inalienable. So, okay, we come in, we do our thing, all right, we're born. We're getting taught lessons, and then we start school. And we go to school, and school is supposed to be our job. So we wake up, and we go to school, whatever that is, whatever we do in school. Then we go to secondary education. Now, at that point, it's a choice. Do you want to go to school? Do you want to go to college, trade school, whatever? Or do you want to just work? Work at McDonald's, or you may not even want to work. Maybe you just want to just live your life. Now, as a citizen of the United States, it goes back to those rights that we have. We have the right to be lazy. We have the right to not have a job. We have a right to have a job. We have a right to not have a job. We have a right to be productive, and we have a right not to be productive. Everybody's got their own different paths in life. And right now I'm not talking spiritual right now. I'm talking about fleshly at this point. You see, the journey in life takes you to the left and to the right, sometime in the center. And if you just think about your life in a boat and you're on a current, you know, you're not gonna just stay still. You're gonna have some bumps because of the current, depending on where you are. And we get on this journey. Sometimes we get on the journey from the beginning of our lives in a bad spot. Sometimes we can take that bad spot and make it into a positive spot. But what I want to ask you as a real question is, where do we start and where do we stop? And I know you're asking me, what kind of question is that? The question is arisen because at some point, we make a choice, either to or either not to be productive. Sometimes we say, we don't care. Sometimes we say, we care, but we can't get there. So, when do we make that choice? And when we make that choice, is that choice something that we stick with, or can it be changed? Because some people like to, you know, some people like to live in absolutes in their life. And let me give you an example of being in absolutes, okay? When you decide to take a positive role in life, you say to yourself, I am not going to let anybody tear me down. And so if you're not going to let me tear you down, or somebody's not going to tear me down, then you put yourself in a position where you will become absolute and say to yourself, listen, no matter what happens, this is going to be me. This is how I'm going to get there. This is how I like to get there. So on and so forth. So, for me, that's when we're talking about absolutes, okay? Now, some people don't live in absolutes, which is great. Because you have to always remember, you're not going to be the same person a year from now, 2 years from now, maybe even 6 years from now. You're not going to be the same person. And I tell you, some people say, well, I've never changed. You have to change. If you do not change, then you don't necessarily become your full person. And let me explain that to you. If you are in ninth grade and you graduate from ninth grade, you go from ninth grade to 12th grade, and you do not change mentally, then you still can be considered to be a ninth grader. So there is change going on psychologically within the situation. Okay? So change is inevitable. Either you will or you're not. So now I bring you to the production of the facts. Okay? The production of the facts is this. We made that decision, and whether the decision is good or bad, listen, that is for that particular person to go through. But look at this. When we talk about production, what exactly are we talking about? Because we measure production or success based upon a goal. Now, if the goal was to graduate when you're 16, graduate high school when you're 16, okay, that would be a successful goal to some. But if your goal is just to graduate and get out of school, for some that might be success. So how do we judge, and I use judge loosely, how do we gain perspective of a productive citizen? See, our society is based on myths. Myths, okay? M-Y-T-H-S, myths. These myths float around like particles in the air, in the world. People pick them up, they put them down whenever they need them. They use this tool to manipulate, but I would say to make them feel better about themselves or in any certain way, I would say, to get an edge, to justify the situation. And the situation, listen, it could be anything, but the most important thing that we must remember is if you make a decision like that, that is just for you. It is not for anyone else. So don't use that as to being the law of the land. We look at it like this, okay? Our society says to us, in order to be somebody, we must go to school and be successful. In order to go to school and be successful, we need to have a college degree. And I will say to you, okay. Okay, we need that stuff, right? But then check this out. Why is it that we go to school and we put our faith into the system, we graduate from the system, and then the system turns and screws you? And the system will screw you all the way through until you graduate. See, y'all don't understand what I'm saying. Why is it that mothers are struggling to try to take care of their children, feed their children, be with their children, give the children the nurturance that they need, and still maintain an understanding where they feel like they're somebody? Okay, y'all not understanding what I'm saying here. Let me make it plain for you. You see, the government is set up where people say, oh, they're just looking for handouts. Really? Is that what people are looking for? Just handouts? Are people looking for some extra help while they're going through the trials and tribulations and the journeys that was put forth? We've got single parents out there all around. How are they being treated when they're going to school? Can they support a household off the little money that they get from a Pell Grant or even a loan? Ladies and gentlemen, people should not be being given loans to go to school, first of all. Because then at that point, when they have already got these loans, they've got to pay them back. Not only do they have to pay them back, but they get caught up in the trap where they're tens of thousands of dollars in debt, right? So when it comes to them actually wanting to do something more with themselves, they cannot do anything more because they are so hemmed up from these loans they have to take. And that's not fair. Not fair at all. You're telling people, in order for these people to be successful or be productive citizens, you must go to school and get a degree. Okay, fine. They do that. Now you tell them, well, you got to pay this loan back. There's no way you could just freeload off the government. You want something. That's something that you need. Come on, man. Let's be for real about this stuff. There is something that they need. And what they need is a better system to help them out while they go to school. And loans are not the answer. Okay? They need to get a better system. I don't have the answer for it. I'm just saying it needs to get better. If I had an answer, I could sure enough tell you. I will try to think about it and formulate it. And then next time I talk about something like this, I will shoot it at you so you have an idea. But as of right now, very difficult for people to be or do certain things in their life because X, Y, and Z, and X, Y, and Z does not provide for everybody. So for those great gentlemen and women in the upper sectors of life who don't think that people need to be helped out a little bit, you are sadly mistaken. People need help. Not everybody can afford the same thing you can afford because it doesn't exist in that world. What does that mean, it doesn't exist in the world? Because they don't get extra help. All the help, where does that help come from? Is there somebody giving out a special gift card or anything? No, none of that stuff's real. The reality is people are hurting. People need to be helped out. People need they need love and affection, and they need it. Families are being broken apart and being hurt, literally being hurt, because of the situations that their parents have to go in. And you say, well, how is that my problem? Well, those same people that raise these children with issues because their parents aren't around helping them are the same people that have psychological problems or mental problems because they are not given the nurturing that they need. Everybody's out getting their hustle on. Everybody's doing this and doing that. But nobody is understanding they have to make sacrifices. When they make these sacrifices, no, they're not necessarily always the good things, but they have to do something because they want to feel like they can provide for their children. So what do? They do whatever they need to do. And if that is get loans and have to pay these loans back, by the time they get out of school, is there going to be a job waiting for them? Huh? You don't hear me because you don't want to hear me. Are these people going to get jobs? We're in an economy right now where these jobs are disappearing. Why are these jobs disappearing and we're sending people to school? Not only, listen to this, not only are there younger kids between the age of 18 and 25 that are going to college, but there are also people who are from the age of 30 to maybe 80 that are going to colleges right now. And you are telling me that there are going to be jobs available for everyone? Listen. I'll tell you this. You can go to Eugene, Oregon right now. I used to live in Eugene, Oregon. And they have people with degrees, y'all. I'm talking about master's degrees, doctorate degrees, and they cannot find jobs, y'all. You know how sad that is? They can't find jobs because the place where they're at, there's just no jobs. And so even if they got a good job, they can't do the things that they want to do because you know why? Because the jobs that they are targeting are not there. So they have to uproot and move. Let me ask you a question. Do they have the money to uproot and move? Not after they have got to pay back these loans. How are these people supposed to feed their families? How are these people supposed to eat? How are these people supposed to survive? And you said that it's not your issue. Listen, if we can spend billions of dollars to send stuff into space and get no result from it and we have no accountability from it, we can take half of that billion and put it in a savings account and pay off those loans for these people. Now, like I said the first time, I suggest that we shouldn't even have loans. If you're going to give a loan, make the loan at the lowest rate possible. Yeah, they already made it where you can pay the loan back after you graduate, but then they're after you graduate, there is a time period or time limit where you have to pay that back, y'all. And then where are my beautiful people stuck at? They're stuck at square one. Because now they've got this degree and they can't do nothing with it. They think once they did that, it'd be all better. And then it's not all better. Then the mental stuff start kicking in. Am I worth it? Am I worth it? Why are we even asking this question, are they worth it? They should feel comfortable in their own skin and be able to provide for those children in their own skin. But they cannot because their self-esteem is so low based off of what they can do and what they cannot do for their families. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it is so important. It is so important that we understand the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is this. As a man married, the man feels he needs to provide for his family. If the man cannot provide for his family, he will slump into a depression and cannot recover from that. The woman is now deemed the head of the household because she is trying to hold the family apart. While the man is drinking himself in a stupor, the woman is working 3 or 4 jobs to try to keep the kids afloat. Single parent mothers are doing everything they can to keep their family afloat. Women are the strongest beings on this planet. They are the backbone to humanity. And if you don't help these women in need who are trying to make a better life for themselves, how can we teach our children to be productive citizens? Because then it's a ripple effect, ladies and gentlemen. You have a family of the nucleus of mother and children. Mother is doing everything possible to show her kids to be upstanding citizens. Don't lie. Don't curse. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Wear your shoes the way they were. Look clean when you're in public. Brush your teeth. Brush your hair. Be presentable. Now, at a certain age, that don't work anymore, ladies and gentlemen. Because now, if you're raising some boys, then the boys become either rebellion or they begin to support their mother. Now, let's look at the rebellion part, and we'll get to supporting mother in a minute. But because the mother is the nurturer, okay, and the father is the provider, the father is now not in the picture, and so mother must nurture son. There's only so much nurturing can happen after a man reaches puberty, and then when he reaches puberty, he thinks that he is the man of the household. And so thus that man of the household complex is I must do whatever I can to help my family. So the son's out in the streets, maybe dealing drugs, maybe stealing cars, but his ideal, his mentality is survival. His mentality is to get his mother from feeling sad and crying at night. His mentality is to make sure that his brothers and sisters have food to eat because his mother is weeping and the only thing she can provide them is some beans. Is that the society that we are proud of? Is that the America we want to continue to support? And yet, people want to say that welfare is not needed. Y'all, let me educate you. You may have a job that pays let's $2,000 a month, right? Two weeks Every 2 weeks, you get a $1,000 check. Okay? Majority of that check is going to go to food. If you got mortgage or rent, that's a big chunk. And then you know what comes next, y'all? Child care. So now, I know you're saying, well, they need the budget. I understand that, but that's not the point. The point is this. If it is a single female working her tail off to provide for her children, there should not be a subsidy or a cap on whether the mother should receive food stamps. I believe that if the mother is legitimately working her butt off, and, oh, I forgot to tell you guys, they take out Social Security and Medicaid, and so taxes are being taken out. So that $2,000 has been just reduced, okay? Just to add that on a bit. I believe that for every child, okay, because we're talking about nutrition, we're talking about health, we're talking about a way of life, we're talking about standards in America. I believe that each child should get at least $100 in food stamps a week. You heard me. I believe every child in that household, okay, so if you have a child, single female, her gross income for the month is $2,000, okay? And, sorry, her net income is $2,000, not her gross, because we know that don't, because the gross don't even count. Look, they don't even need to put that on the pay stub. Just tell me how much I'm going to get, and then call it a day. So the net is what she's going to get. And she has got three kids. Father is up and left because he can't find a job. Feeling bad, beating her up, she kicks him out, they leave, all right? She's doing what she can. Now, if you give these children food to eat, it doesn't cut into her check, okay? Because we've all been teenagers. We've all been teenagers, and we've been all been kids. And as children and teenagers, we know that you have to be able to function, and you have to eat to function. So, if we could spend $1 trillion on the $1 trillion for the United States Department of Defense, and we can't spend $1 trillion to give each child $100 in food stamps, listen, y'all, food stamps is not even real money. You know what I'm saying? Wait, let me back this up. For those who don't know, FDR, right? FDR got rid of gold. Uh-oh, we got a caller. I don't know. I think it's Apache. We got a caller, and I believe it's Apache. So I'm going to let Apache in, and then I'm going to... This guy's kind of wild, so y'all gonna have to bear with me, and then I'm gonna finish my thought, okay? You know how we do it when we got a caller. Hello, caller. How you doing? Say your name. Where you from?
Hey, George. It's the best, man. Lake Charles.
Yeah. What's up, man? I figured it was you.
Well, what you thinking about, George?
Oh, well, right now I'm talking about how society needs to help people be better citizens.
To be better citizens?
Yeah. Well, I was talking about, a few minutes ago, I was talking about how I believe that the government should help single parents more than they are now. And that I believe that each child should get at least $100 a week in food stamps.
So you're talking about the system?
Yeah, regardless of what her income is.
Okay. Well, did you weigh that program out from top to bottom?
Say again?
Did you weigh that program? You know, it's an assistance program you're thinking about, huh?
Yeah.
a government-funded assistance program.
Right.
For single parents and the kids, each kid of a single parent. Okay, well, I mean, it's a good idea, George, but I'm just saying you got to weigh it out from top to bottom. I think the government already broke, right? Do they have any money to even give the kids?
Well, then let me ask you a question. How's the government still running if we don't have any money?
How's it still running?
Yeah.
On borrowed money, probably?
Well, that's true.
All right. Well, you went to the military, Andre?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you know about that kind of stuff, man. Spent a lot of money, man. The country spent a lot of money, man.
Well, it would be nice,
but I tell you what, George, just the program that has to happen. I was just thinking about this too, George. The program that has to happen is everybody just going to have to grab their balls and take it upon themselves to help the kids next to them. And you're going to have to do it, like, with the sweat off your back. You can't wait for somebody to give you some money if you can make sure the kid is up, gets to school, and brushes his teeth and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? You can, like, help a kid program. Like how many people are actually walking around the country that have no interaction with kids whatsoever? Don't deal with them, not during the day, not the night, not ever deal with a child. And if, say, everybody just took it upon themselves, and they have a lot of programs, you know, Big Brother, Big Sister, and a lot of programs that do, but I don't know what to tell you to get pushed. Money would help, though, George. Money would definitely help push some programs to help children, man. You thinking about some real stuff tonight. You ain't clowning tonight, huh?
No, and you're exactly right. Because it's that old adage, that the old African adage, that it takes a village to raise a child. And let me give you a spinoff on this. I was going to say this. FDR... When FDR was president of the United States, he canceled gold backing the currency of the United States of America. When the Federal Reserve was created, it sent us and set us into debt already. And so in order to collect those debts, they need to be repaid. Now, in our modern time, money is not real. It is ran by numbers.
Yeah.
And I was taught this a long time ago. Everything deals with numbers. Everything is, think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Everything that we see is in a solid form. But when you go back to science, you can take a television and break it down by its molecules. And so when you break it down by its molecules, it is ran by numbers, okay? That's why it's so important for us to understand these things. So when we're talking about currency, we're talking about money, we're talking about we don't have this and we don't have that, it is not a physical thing, ladies and gentlemen. It is a computer-animated number situation. You can sort all kinds of numbers any kind of way, but it is all about numbers. You go to the ATM, you put your ATM card in, do you see the money being pushed out? Yes, you do. But in order for that to happen, you have to do numbers in order for you to get your money. Okay, so now that we know that, the government does not exist or does not operate on money. People believe that we're broke. Okay, well, yes, we are. But the reality is how can a nation that is broke still function? For example, Apache, if you don't pay your car note, right, what happens to your car? If you don't pay your car note, what happens to your car?
If you don't pay your car note, they look for you for a while, but if you hide from them, you can keep the car.
Okay. Well, then what's wrong with that?
So I'm just saying that's what America's basically doing. They're just hiding from the debt. They still functioning, George. We still riding. Oh,
yeah.
We still riding, George. We riding on 24s and shit. We still riding.
Yes,
but
riding.
The repo man is on our back, partner. Don't forget about the repo man is on our back.
We owe the Chinese.
Sitting over there building them big ass missiles and shit, huh?
We owe the Chinese. We owe the crime.
Why don't you tell somebody to call in and tell us how much we owe China so I can pay them off and get them off our ass, man? I'll just pay them for us, man.
Don't worry about it. China already owns bridges. They own fields. They own corporations. Listen, America's for sale. Do you know that the Kuwaitis?
George, I know that. I've been buying shit around here all year long, man. I'm trying. They won't sell me the bridge over West Lake to Lake Charles because you know it's two cities involved. I can't make the deal. They're trying to rob me. But I already bought the lake, man. It's all good, man. You can get some too. But we gotta buy them off of this, man. We can't have them buying us up like that. They gonna tie us up. They gonna make some plays out of us, George. You know we don't want that. You know, George. You know what I'm talking about, George? Me and you don't want that. We ain't trying to trip like that.
And so back to your point about the family, about the community helping the family. So now that we know that the government runs on a what do you call it? they run it on a runaway scheme. Why can't they afford that? Okay. Now, every child needs to have health care and dental care. Every child. Every child. Not just the ones who can't afford it and all this. And I'm not talking about those, and people will probably call in and say, well, they do have health. No. I'm talking about going to a doctor, seeing a doctor, and getting the help that they need. The government will pay for it. Now, listen, I'm not pro-government. I'm not pro-big government. But what I am saying is that as a black person, we were never given the opportunity to reach forward or go forward into an opportunity where we could be economically and socially and politically stable. And a lot of people say, well, that's not the truth because you guys get the same education. Listen, it took the Emancipation Proclamation, it took the Reconstruction, it took the Civil Rights Act, it took the 13th, 14th, and the 19th Amendment to even make us people. So how can we?
I just learned how to read last week.
Congratulations on that, brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate that, man.
So the real topic tonight is what is your most favorite moment in your life?
Oh yeah, I seen that, man. Man, that's a hard one, man. At a certain age, you have so many moments, man, and when you have kids, you know, those kids are going to top it, man, because every moment with your kids just gets greater and greater. I tell you what, you want to know my favorite moment, John? Favorite moment?
Well, you can have more than one.
Oh, well, great, because I got a few of them. What was your favorite moment, John?
My favorite moment in my life?
Yeah, favorite moment in your life. What was it? Did you express that to us yet?
No, I was just telling moments. Like, I think my favorite moment.
We could trade a few. Like, you tell me one, I tell you one. You tell me another, I tell you another. How about that?
Okay, sounds good. My favorite moment is being married to my wife when I got married.
Your first marriage?
My second marriage.
Your second marriage was your best moment in your life?
Yes.
How many kids you got?
I have five.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Me and you got five kids. Yeah, right. Okay, my greatest moment, the store right there?
Yeah,
okay. Oh, okay, all right. Yeah, my greatest moment, George, was, I had all, because you know I've been married twice, like you, I've been married twice, and I got a set of kids here, two here, three there. Well, I had all my kids together one evening in Houston. We all went to Houston and hung out for the weekend, and we was all in a restaurant. We took some pictures, and that was the greatest moment, but I at the time I did not realize it. I want to say it was sometime in October, and for Christmas, my little sister made a collage of pictures from that weekend and put them all together and it hit me for Christmas that was the greatest moment of my life. Now, as far as celebrations, oh man, that's been a few different moments. What's your next best moment?
Well, you stole my favorite.
Huh?
I loved it when all my kids were together, and we were on vacation, and so
Yeah, that shit is the best, man. That's the best shit right there. That shit is kind of priceless, you know. And but you know, you know what, man? It's a surprise you're talking about this tonight. It's that I had a chance to call in because, man, I got a soft spot for kids, man. It's grown people. Grown people sicken me. I'm sick of grown people. These kids are so innocent, man. I get tired of hearing people say the kids are bad. Kids are kids, you know what I'm saying? Kids gonna be certain way, and they grow up to be idiots just like everybody else. You understand what I'm saying? But when they're kids, if you show them and groom them and teach them stuff and give them the game that was taught to you, they could be better. Most of them could end up being better than you. And I like to see that. I've worked with a lot of kids through the barbershop throughout the years, man, and I watched them grow up to be. Some of them ended up, I got one that ended up being a felon. I got some to be a college graduate. And, it's definitely a joy to see that, man.
Same here, too. I would say my whole 15 years of coaching football, and to see some of my kids on Facebook and how grown they are and how, you know, how they are as adults, it's a touching moment for me because it gratifies me as a football coach, I guess, you know, and,
Yeah, I think anybody who's worked with kids, anybody out there that's listening that has worked with kids in some shape or form or fashion should be able to pat themselves on the back. No matter how much money you made, how much money you spent, if you took the time is very priceless. And I'm sure the older you get, the more you realize that the time is very priceless. So any time that you give to the kids is all they really want. That's what they really want. You can go buy them all kind of stuff and spoil them up and never see them, and they still going to be ungrateful and not going to, you know, they're going to complain. This gas station open? Yeah, so it's most definitely time spent, man. That's priceless. So anybody who's doing that, pat yourself on the back. Don't worry about what they're saying about you because you're a good person. And I'm sure there's a spot in heaven for those who tend to children, especially children in need. You know, single parents and people raising kids, single parents and all that. If you can help help somebody out in that situation, there is a place in heaven for you, if you ask me.
Another one of my favorite moments in my life was when I played football, and we beat Monroe in the was it Monroe?
Yeah, hold on, George. Let me take this call right quick. Hold on one second.
Okay. One of my favorite moments when we beat Ruston? It was Monroe. I think it was Monroe. We beat Monroe and, it was Neville. It was Neville Tigers, yes. We beat Neville Tigers in their stadium, in their backyard, and we were the underdogs. We went in there and nobody thought we could win it. But we did. We went in there and whipped some butt. They ran the old wishbone. They couldn't handle it. That defense was on them. It was swarming them. I think in the next couple of weeks, I think we're going to start doing some football stuff because you know how much I love football. And we're going to talk about some football stuff. But back to what I was saying about the production of a citizen. Now, like I was saying earlier about how children need to be taken care of, not only mentally and physically, because, listen, these children are being affected by their parents who are trying to do everything they could possibly do in order to give their children a better way of life. Now, we were all kids once, and a better way of life may depend on what you seem to deem to be better. Now, I'm not saying buy your children all these materialistical things, because that doesn't get them there, but as a child, that's what they see. They see people that have things. They want things. And you can't really fault them for that because they're children. Like Apache said, they're children. That's what they do. And I totally agree. So we need to find ways to help our single mothers, our single fathers out there, help our children and guide them so they won't feel like they're worthless because their mother or their father can't provide for them. That's not a fair shake. And so I started the beginning out saying that some come into the society good and some come into society bad, and that's what I'm referring to. Some kids get a good start and other kids don't. And then you want to label them a troublemaker. Their circumstances, literally, their environment causes these children to do and to be something that they're not. Now, it's not always the case. You always got those kids who are in a good situation goes bad. But that's only because they're not getting attention. And being a parent is not perfect. There's not real perfect formula. I mean, in the Bible, they tell you how to help you and guide you. But each scenario is different. So you have to be able to adapt to the situation, adapt to the people around you, and don't be afraid to ask for help. And people, if they ask for help, don't be afraid to help them. Is it always about you paying them back? Is it always about you helping somebody too much? You see, when Peter asked God how many times should I forgive him? He said, forgive him times seven. And then he said 77 times. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know, sometimes we feel like we're getting used and abused, but what does Ephesians 6 say? It says to give from the heart. It says, as servants to Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing doing whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Just a little love. Is that so hard to give? For some people, it may be hard to give. Okay. But when you're in need, wouldn't you want somebody to come to your aid? Oh, you know what? It doesn't really matter, right? Because you're never going to ask for help. Listen, everybody falls into a rut in their life. You cannot always control situations. And believe me, I am the living witness to that. My wife tells me all the time, you know what, you're controlling. And the only reason why I feel like I'm controlled in a controlled environment is because I want to be able to know the conditions in which I'm getting myself into. Is that a bad thing? Hey, listen, you can call it or say whatever you want to say, but that's the way I am. And I'm not saying it's a good thing, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But once again, y'all, that's who I am. I'm going to live with me. Nobody can I mean, you can try to come in and say, hey, you know, you shouldn't do that kind of stuff or whatever. But, you know, that's when I'm open to suggestions. I'm open to different people's philosophies, different people's point of views. Because even though I may think my point of view is right, it's not absolute. You know, we talked about that earlier about absolutes, okay? And so, you know, we as a society, we need to keep things in mind. We need to keep others in focus when we talk about certain things like that. Because your situation may not be the same as somebody else's situation, but you try to put that mold on that situation and say, well, this is what I did. But it may not always work in that scenario. And I totally agree with Apache that we need to get back to the point where the community needs to start getting out. The community needs to start getting more involved. Hello?
Yo.
Are you there?
Yeah, that's me, George.
Okay.
Yeah, you think they need to get it back out there, huh, George?
Yeah, they do. They need to get more involved.
Well, you know, it's so much scandal and you know, when you go back to talking about money and things like that, people are scared. I'm gonna tell you, in the community I'm from, people are scared of the kids because the kids look different. The kids not the same, man. So you know, it's just almost like you're going into a losing battle, but. Sometimes you just got some people, some of us at certain ages still have no fear. And you definitely ain't going to fear a child. Well, anybody who doesn't have that fear definitely needs to step up and deal with it, because you could save one of them and make them gain a little dignity about themselves where they're not looking for the wrong attention and, you know, dress a certain way with certain people. Like, it's a time and place for everything, but they definitely have to be taught this, man. Everybody's going to blame it on the kid when the kid was never taught how to do things properly. It was all the kid's fault. They even got jails for them and stuff, you know what I mean? So, but it's not going to – not everybody's cut for that, George. So we can't look at people and I'm like, okay, well, you didn't help the kid, so you know what I'm saying? You don't get nothing. You don't get a piece of the cake. You can't even come to the party because you didn't – you know, we got to find everybody has a strength, man. Everybody has to find what their strength is. God has blessed everybody with something. And with some people, it's dealing with kids. And to those who are into this, as far as coaches, teachers, and there needs to be a band like that comes together and grow like a cancer and get people that is involved that has a time and everybody's on these same schedules and get in some of these old abandoned buildings and clean them up and fix them up and invite the kids in and teach them, you know, and lure them in, you know what I'm saying? Just like anybody else do these videos and everything. The internet, they suck those kids right in. They suck us all in. So, you know, you gotta have something like that because, you know, nowadays kids don't even hardly go outside. The ones that do are maniacs. So, you know, you gotta, it's a lot of work, George, but don't expect everybody, don't expect 8 out of 10 people to step up to that plate. You might as well expect more like 3 out of 10. But those 3, if they can find 3 more and 3 more and 3 more and develop something, it's easier said than done, Joy. We can sit up here and talk about it all day, but until somebody throws some money at an idea like that or something like that, it's going to be hard, man, to just do it off your sweat of your back. All you can do from the sweat off your back, man, is work with them one at a time, man. Just talking to them whenever you get a chance to talk to them, like maybe like you do this radio show, you have one for kids. Something, you know, PG-13, just for kids to call in and talk and express. And if you just get one out of that bunch, man, that you was able to send a message to, you've done a hell of a thing, man.
Oh, I totally agree.
But you know what?
This dude ain't home, man.
Wow.
And if you know, my thing is this. There's a lot of people who are willing to do certain things and help out, and their hearts in it, but they're too scared to do anything. And for me, it's so discouraging because you can't say that you want to help and just be scared. It just, that to me, it frustrates me, I should say. And I shouldn't let it frustrate me, but it really does. And if you are afraid, then you already lost because you're afraid.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't go up to a child and tell them, hey, you need to cool it out, regardless if it's your child or not, then something is wrong with you. As an adult, you telling me that you gonna be scared of a child regardless of what, if you know, if he a thug, whatever.
Call you.
No.
All right.
All I'm saying is this. If the child doesn't have respect, then the child ain't gonna.
Hold on one second. No, I didn't leave him. He they called me to come get him. I can't find him.
So I understand some people have fears, and they're afraid to do certain things based up on. Look, I can talk to walk because I do it all the time. I don't care what they look like, what they wearing, what they talking about, they're repping. If they're not respected, if they're not respective or respectable, then, and it's in a situation where they've done something, I would say, that's not respectable. As an adult, it's my duty as an adult to correct the situation.
Yeah, thank you, man.
I mean, if you can't, if a person is too afraid, yes.
Oh, can you mute me for a second, man?
Okay.
Yeah, take me off for a second, man. I'm gonna call you back. I'm gonna check back in with you. But I wanna listen in what you got to say, man.
Okay. Thank you. Bye. If you're not respectable enough to do the things that you should be doing, then as an adult, we need to step up to the plate. We can't be afraid to say, well, you know, that's not my child, and I'm afraid. Listen, these children are looking for guidance. Yeah, their parents may teach them or tell them what to do, and they don't listen to them. How many of us really listen to our parents? Let's be for real about it. It took somebody else outside of the house to get us to act right. But yet and still, we want to blame the parents. Now, some of the times we can blame the parents on certain situations, but not all the time. Hey, listen, when you hit 15, you know how to act. Okay? When you hit 15, you know how to act. I'm sure your mama told you to be respectful to your elders. And it's time that the elders gain that respect. Now, you know, most people say you have to earn respect to get respect and all this blah, 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 blah. Listen, that could be debatable. What I think, if an elderly person is elder to you, you respect them, period. They can be wronger than dirt. Don't sit there and argue with them. Because it won't do no justice. It won't do nothing for you. I'm giving you a bigger headache. A lot of things that we can change, a lot of things that we can look at. But how can we get our children to be productive? How can we get our young children to maneuver through this society and still have respect for a government or for a civilization that we're going to pass the baton to? You see, I was watching Aliens. I love Aliens, the Alien movies, you know, with Sigourney Weaver and the Predator movies and stuff. I love movies like that. It's always in the future. You know what I'm saying? It's always in the future. And we look at things and say, oh, man, this is going to happen in the future? Well, look. It can happen in the future all day, all night. But until we teach our children to respect humanity, respect the land, respect the water, respect the nature, we're passing on generation to generation on into filth. And I'm going to say it, just filth, y'all, filth. How can corporations go to a third world nation and rape it and pillage it and all that stuff? And then you've got organizations talking about save the koalas, that the species is going extinct. Save the whales. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to stop being naive. These people do it, then they expect us to pick up the check. It's just like me coming sitting at your table, you don't know who I am, I order a plate of food and a glass of wine, and I say, thank you, I'm leaving. And I get up and walk the smooth the hell on out. Guess who got to pay the bill? You. That is what the corporations of America is doing to our world. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. If you got a question, I tell you, Henry Kissinger, one of the devils of his time, specifically said it in the memo that they have to do these things in order to depopulate the world. If you don't know who Henry Kissinger is, go look him up, okay? Because I talked about him a while back. We'll get to him further in the maybe in the future. But look him up. He's so evil. He worked for the Rockefellers. He works for the Bilderberg. He's part of the Bilderberg Group. I mean, listen, not everybody get invited to the Bilderberg Group. The Bilderberg Group is of the elite. Listen, people, elite. I talk about a handful of wealthy, intelligent crooks, devils, demons, controlled by Satan himself. Okay? Anyway. So, I'm not going to get too animated here. It is time out from us to stop being naive. It is time out for us to stop letting the government, whether they be Republican or Democrat, liberal or green, it doesn't matter. Don't let these lobbyists trick you into thinking that you are doing the right thing by sending your money. Listen, I saw this clip. I don't know if it's real or not, but I saw this clip. It says that the man who runs the Humane Society, the one with the animals, when you send that money goes directly to their bank account, to their retirement fund, and the animal shelters around the United States only get 1.5%, 1.5% of the money that you receive. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. It's time out. It is so time out from us to be naive. We've got to fight back. I'm not saying don't donate. I'm saying if you're going to donate, won't you write a check directly to your local humane society, your local, whatever. Listen. There's so many different things going on in the world, and we're being put right in the middle of it. We've got to pick up the tab, plus the tip. When does it stop? Remember, we are passing this baton to the future generation. And if the future generation does not care now, they're not going to care in the future. And if they don't care in the future, then their children is going to get past their baton to say that they don't care. And it's going to be an evolution of a cycle, ladies and gentlemen. So I want to specifically point this out to you. It's been 150 years since the Emancipation Proclamation when slaves were freed, okay? But we're still talking about equal rights and equal justice for all. I can't put it any simpler than that. I'm not only talking about blacks. I'm talking about race, period. I'm talking about women. I'm talking about the ladies, LGBT, I think it's called, organization. Listen, everybody's been discriminated against and been put in issues to make us fight amongst ourselves. Because while we're fighting amongst ourselves, they're making decisions without us. What do we do? What do we do, y'all? What is the solution to this? I mean, honestly, I think we should really dissolve. We need to dissolve the whole political system. I mean, the whole political system. We have to. Okay? Because when you have to be a millionaire to run for the Senate seat or House seat or the President of the United States, that doesn't make sense. You spend billions of dollars advertising and putting slander and on one another in campaign ads so you can listen. America don't care who did what or who did what. All we want to do is get America back to where we were. I can't say we will never get there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not gonna say that. But what I will say is if we continue to let the elite groups do what they want to do to us and we don't fight back, you will see where we will be in the next 50 years. In 50 years, I will be 85 years old. And I pray to the Lord that it is not the end of the times. You know what? I take that back. I pray to the Lord that it is the end of the times, and he sends me up into the rafters, okay? Rapture me up, God. That's what I say. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of death. What do we do in order for these younger generations to understand the need and the urgency to love ourselves, not let materialistic things define who we are? Don't let the media sweep us off our feet into a wild goose chase where we have no understanding, no comprehension, no questions, no urgency. We are walking, sleepwalking zombies. You know why society loves zombies? Because it is a reflection of who we are. It's fun to shoot the zombies and all that stuff. But ladies and gentlemen, if the news, if the TV, if the radio, if the computer can keep you in a hibernating state where you sit in front of the TV for hours and hours and hours, sit in front of the computer for hours and hours and hours, sit on your phone and you're on it for hours and hours and hours, what are you doing with your time? And you say, Lord God, I've been on it all day. I haven't got nothing done. That is a sense of mind control. So even though technology is good, it is not okay to be created to be a zombie or be controlled by these systems that are designed to keep us in a hibernating state. You're just in standstill mode. Nothing gets done. Nothing gets accomplished. Your brain is being fed mush. The lights is in your eyes because they're flashing these flashes of codes in your brain, and it believe me, it affects your brains. Listen, you know why they didn't like Adolf Hitler? You know why they didn't like Adolf Hitler? Because Adolf Hitler was doing experiments that they didn't think of first. And I say they, I'm talking about the United States government. So what they did was they went and got those scientists and brought them to America. That's why Albert Einstein is so beloved in America. I mean, come on, y'all. Let's be real. Let's be real about it, okay? Albert Einstein did create the theory of irrelativity. Sorry, I didn't know what I'm talking about. You know, mc squared. Sorry. So he created the atom bomb that landed on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I think it's called. Those two Japanese cities, and I forgot the third one, the second one. And forgive me if I messed up those names. I mess up with those names on occasion. Listen, so he made the atom bomb. Why were all these German scientists able to come to America and then continue to conduct experiments on Americans? What I mean, it doesn't make sense, ladies and gentlemen. So we as America said we're not going to get involved in the war, but as soon as Pearl Harbor was bombed, we immediately jumped into the war. We immediately go attack Adolf Hitler, and we bring the scientists from Germany to America so they can conduct the experiments that Hitler was doing, but we put it on the low. Not only did we do that, but President Bush Sr., his father, Preston Bush, if you don't believe me, look it up. President Bush Sr.'s father, his name is Preston Bush, and some of his banker friends, because Preston Bush was a senator in the United States government, and he and his banker friends funded, listen to what I'm saying, they funded the American and the Nazi war campaign. Not only did they supply them with money, but they also they gave them the machinery and the steel and the iron in order to build their tanks and their missiles. Not even on top of that, IBM was the one who manufactured the number systems to put the code on the Jews. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know that IBM was part of that that situation. So, listen, there's so much that you don't see that's behind the scenes that need to be brought in so you can understand. And, ladies and gentlemen, I say these things not to scare you, but to enlighten you, to get you to think. Things are not always what they seem to be. You see, because the shiny apple is meant to be eaten, but the poison inside it will go through your body fully. How can we be productive citizens if we don't even trust our own government? And I'm not even talking about the federal government. I'm talking about the state. I'm talking about the local government. How can we teach our children to be respectful to police when police are not conducting themselves with honor? And I'm not saying that all policemen are like that. Now, listen to me carefully. There's always the one, okay? There's always the ones that mess it up, okay? But still, the ones can corrupt the others. There's so many positive things that we can do in our lives in order to make it better. I volunteer, I coach football. That's what I love to do. That's how I connect with the children. That's how I do my thing. But other people have other ways in doing it. Listen, there's young girls out there who don't have a mother that's there all the time. And not saying that the mother is bad. The mother is working. And so it is up to our seniors, okay, who have a little bit of extra time, teach those young girls, you know, invite them over to their house. Teach them how to sew. Teach them how to knit. Teach them how to cook. Teach them how to bake. Those little things, it may not seem like a big deal, but ladies and gentlemen, it is a tremendous deal. Because those are the small fabric things in life that these skills for these young women can have for their husbands. Teach them how to respect themselves. Teach them how to have proper etiquette. Now, me personally, look, I'm done with the whole etiquette thing, but that's just me. But I'm not saying, listen, I'm not saying that is the base rules. I teach my children the things they need to have, the things they need to know to be successful. I also teach them the things that they need to look out for. There's traps and there's snares. Even if you've got to take a little girl and just teach her about the birds and the bees, her mother may get upset with you, but guess what? She needs to know that young boys may take advantage of her and use lines that are used and recycled over and over again. Quick story, and then I move on. There was a case where a school had a star athlete. He raped two girls. The principal told the parents not to call anything or report it because it would mess up his scholarship. So they reported it. They couldn't get anybody to talk. The kid stayed in the school, and the only thing that happened was he couldn't play in two games, and there were non-conference games. And so the scouts weren't there. So he still got to go and do. So we have taught this man, young man, to be not only continue his bad behavior, but it's okay to cover up because somebody has an ability to get him to the next level. The money's going to make him even more, it's going to make him worse because he's going to continue to rape young women. And who was there to stop that? Who was there to comfort the rapees? They're going to be psychologically scarred for the rest of their life. How can they trust adults when adults are not acting like adults? These are babies. Who cares if she fasts? Who cares if she wears mini skirts? Who cares if she wears her bra? Look, the way a woman dressed does not give a man permission. Let me say this very clear, men. It does not give you permission to put your hands on her. Doesn't give you permission. She can be the biggest hoochie out there ever. If she turns you down, you're just not the one. Walk away. Don't feel offended because she doesn't want to give up the cookie. How can we teach our young men to be productive citizens who follow the laws, who enforces the laws, who does good things for their community, whether anybody is looking at them or not? Even if it's opening a door for an elderly woman who has crutches or in a wheelchair, that is something. It doesn't have to necessarily be big. It has to be, you have to be able to be respectful about things. Things in our lives mess with our emotions. It messes with our psyche. It puts us in a state of anger a lot. Understand that. I'm not saying you have to be perfect every moment of your life, because life happens to you, ladies and gentlemen. It does. But the reality is this. We need to teach our young children from an early age that they must respect their elders. They must respect the person that is older than them, like their brothers and sisters. It's too much reality TV that kids that perception that it's okay. It's not okay. That's why it's called reality TV, because it's TV. You take the TV out, and it's still reality, but it's not visible. It's kind of like that old question. If you found a wallet with full of money in it, would you take the money and then give it back, or would you take the wallet and return it to the person that it belongs to without taking the money in it? Even if your family is starving, even if you need that $100 bill to pay your bill because your light's about to turn off. Now, that's reality, ladies and gentlemen. What type of character are you? And if you have good character, how can you transfer that good character into your children? That your children will continue to continue that good trait that is in you, that you give to them. They said, well, if you show that you're a good role model to your kids, your kids are going to be a good role model. That is not an absolute, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot continue to think the old ways. These children are growing up in an age where they get information from electronics. It's not like back when we grew up. We got information from radios. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have all this distractions. If you want to look at porn, the only thing you could do is get a Playboy or a Hustler magazine. You know what I'm saying? And go hide in your treehouse. Nowadays, anybody can go up to the computer, type in porn, and there you go. The kids can see anything they want. Because it's the digital age, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I learned this about a couple months ago. And the reason they went from analog to digital is because they could not reach the older people or reach more people through the analog system. And I'm talking about analog. I'm talking about phones. I'm talking about internet. I'm talking about computers. All that stuff. All the hardline stuff. They could not, when I say they, I'm talking about the elite, could not tap into your system or to your core the way that they want it now that everything is digital. So now, think about this. We have satellites that float around the earth, right? And apparently, you see all these things, they shoot like little beams or pulses or whatever, and they reflect off the earth and all that stuff. Where do you think the digital cable stuff comes from? It comes from space. Because they shoot a signal to the satellite reflects it and bounces it back to your dish or to your whatever. But before that, it wasn't even like that. They had it was all analog. Okay? It was all analog. Now everything is digital. And so they need to transform our minds from a hard line to a space. I'll put it that way, into space. Because when you think about space, there is nothing there. There is no solid mass or anything that in it, because you can walk through freely through space. But when you're in the analog, you have to go through some type of cable. You got to go through some hard lines. You got to go through some whatever. But everything now that is digital, it's so easy to transmit through the TV. Ladies and gentlemen, they have these wicked people have found ways to manipulate us without even having to show their face. If you see Iron Man 3, I'm not going to give a spoiler away. If you see Iron Man 3, you will see the understanding on which I am saying. And we talked about this before. See, Henry Kissinger was running a covert operation in a shadow government. He's not the only one to do that, but he has, in his lifespan, has been so manipulative in his life that it continued to go and be the foundation how to manipulate. I'm going to close with this question. How could a human being plot and conspire a plan and convince other men and women of good moral, good morale, a dignity, respect, love, honor, all those things, and get them to agree to kill half of the population on earth. Not on, I didn't say America, I said on earth. Half of the population on earth. How are they doing it? They have done it through water, they have done it through famine, they have done it through the foods, they have done it through television, and they've done it through war. Yes, I said war, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't understand how war operates, they use war as a depopulation control system mechanism. Harsh reality, but it's true. I need to pull up the document. If you guys have questions about the document that I'm referring to about Henry Kissinger, let me pull it up and tell you exactly what it's called, because I cannot recall it on the top of my head. Oh, that's not it, y'all. It is called the National Security Study Memorandum, NSSM 200. It was declassified December 10th, 1974. Okay? It's called the Kissinger Report. It's called Implementation of Worldwide Population Growth for United States Security and Overseas Interests, the Kissinger Report, December 10th, 1974. Okay? It was declassified December 31st, 1980. So, like I said, I'm going to have to break this down, and I'm going to have to explain it to you in the future, okay? And like I said, I'm still dealing with my illness, my PTSD. I'm still trying to give you what I can give you, ladies and gentlemen. So just bear with me, and we're going to get this thing done. But I urge you, ladies and gentlemen, to open your eyes to different things and question it. If it doesn't make sense to you, question it. Remember, when black people talk about it's a black thing, don't hesitate and say, it's always a black thing. It's always about black. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if it wasn't about a black thing, do you think black people would still be complaining? Do you think that women would still be trying to fight for their rights? Huh? Do you think that women would try to fight to be able to choose what they wanted to do with their own bodies? Do you think that women would still be fighting to say they want to get paid equally as their counterparts with men? So my question to you, ladies and gentlemen, is don't be quick to jump on the bandwagon and dismiss things. Look it up for yourself. And remember, there's always two sides of the story. There's the Republican machine and there's the Democratic machine, and then there's people who just want to go and screw everybody up. So if you're looking for information to validate your point, it's going to validate it. You got to just find it, right? But what you can do, because we are smart human beings, we went to school, we know how to decipher things on our own, what you need to do is take both of those informations, look at them side by side, find out what is said and what is not said, and then you go look at a neutral source and see where those two sources fit in. And then, wherever it is, you will get your results. There's other ways to do investigation work, but usually that's the best way. And I tell you this, I don't spend a lot of time with the conservative jargon because I'm black, so I don't believe anything they say. But that's not true. I shouldn't say that. I should say that some of the things that they say are not true. Some of the things I agree with. I mean, there's a lot of things that I agree with that the Republicans say. And I don't consider myself Republican or Democrat because none of them are doing anything for America. right? I want my own party. I want a black party. I want a party just for black people. That's just me. You know what I mean? We can't get nothing done with regular people and whatever. But until next time, my name is George Beverly Jr. This is Sound Off Forums. And the next time I see you, you should be sounding off. Good night.